The only question remaining now, what do we do next? Infamous for its vice and depravity. Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Let it begin.
Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host Napier.
What's up?
And via Skype, the albino alligator, the king of pranks, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Cake by the ocean.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Napier.
What's up?
It's oversaturation, you think, is what it is?
I think so. I think we just we put too much in.
Just too much stuff, huh?
Look,
too much.
There's too much dick. Ladies tell you, there ain't too much dick until it happens. And then it happens. And then, oh, there's too much dick.
See, like, you throw one out a week, and, like, you can devote the necessary time to like, patting yourself on the back for that one. You know, and you'd be like, guys.
Savor it.
Guys, this one is great, and let me tell you all the reasons why. When you do a whole goddamn week of shows, you got to move on to the next one, and some might get lost by the wayside. You know what I'm saying?
It's
get lost by the wayside. And then
I'm on the show, and I have a WFOD hangover.
And then you come in here the next week, and it's the really light chat, Naves. Really light in the chat room, and it makes
we got some
makes you wonder. You know, are they ungrateful?
You can't say that about the ones that are here.
I feel like they're ungrateful, is what I'm saying.
We're not talking to
anybody
who's here,
though. I
feel like
they don't really appreciate all that we do for them.
Hey, not everybody can make it every week. That's okay.
We do a lot. We do a lot. And this is something that I want to talk about, is how much we do and how they should all appreciate it.
I've had this talk with my manager before.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what I did? I rolled my eyes, too.
You say, look, I should get a raise for all that I do.
Oh, hold on. Let me tell you about all the things that I do for you that you don't know about. Mister, you think you need more money.
You know, like Amazon, I've been seeing all these things about Amazon, that Amazon figured out that it would be way cheaper for them to just go buy their own trucks.
Really?
And so Amazon's looking into just doing shit on their own, and they're saying, look, UPS, we could just go buy our own fucking trucks. Like, we're fucking Amazon. I mean, we can afford a couple of leases on some moving trucks and just go around and deliver our own shit.
Yeah, I don't see the problem with that if that's what they want to do.
And they're opening distribution centers all over the place. They're opening one here. They're opening a distribution center around here. And they're going to buy their own trucks. And then, I guess, are all the delivery businesses just going to crumble? Probably, right?
No.
I think that most of what they deliver is Amazon stuff.
I'd say that's a good chunk of their business.
Right.
I guess they didn't get the rates that they wanted.
Well, I saw an article about how UPS is really trying to champion the small businesses now. They're like, guys.
UPS is?
They're like, guys, look, we got to do something about small businesses because Amazon is just taking too much of the pie. And they're doing that now because Amazon's buying their own trucks. Mm-hmm. They're like, guys, look, we've cared about small business this whole time. I mean, we just couldn't say anything. But seriously, this is a problem. We got to do something about it. Amazon and Walmart are too cheap. How can we help the little guy out? How can we do it?
I think Walmart ships to people's houses. I don't think they use their own Walmart trucks to do it.
They use UPS. But what are they going to do when Walmart figures out what Amazon figured out? That is, we can get our own trucks.
Or maybe use them. Go with Amazon shipping.
Our local grocery store is going to start delivering soon. And pretty soon, you're not even going to have to leave your house.
I think it's kind of like Uber for groceries. Like, somebody signs up to do that kind of crap, and they go and they buy your laundry list of bullshit, and then they deliver it to your house, you know, like an Uber, but for vegetables.
Anchor and Mshell in the chat are both telling me not to call them cunts. I mean, I wasn't going to call them cunts. Look, even if Anchor and Mshell were being huge cunts, I wouldn't call them cunts. It's just not a very nice thing to do.
You've called Anchor worse than that.
Yeah, but not to his face.
No, never, never.
Yeah, I call him privately, you know. And yeah, I mean, like, once we go on break, I'll probably call both of them cunts. It's just something I'll do.
Just for the principle of it?
Just for the principle of it. Napier, did you see the controversy about this Pepsi thing? The Pepsi commercial?
No.
Travis said we shouldn't talk about the Pepsi commercial. It's probably played out. Everybody's talking about the Pepsi commercial.
We can talk about it. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's over.
330 million people in the United States. 13% of those people are black. I'd say half the black people don't give a shit about all the stuff that the black people are mad about. That's probably fair, right? I mean, like, all of the black people aren't going out and protesting things.
No, I would say most don't really give a shit.
You think half is probably being generous. It's probably way less than half.
I'd say maybe 5%.
Yeah, that's super generous because I don't care about anything the white people are pissed about. So,
yeah, I mean, like, we don't care about anything that anybody's mad about, really. But so if I'm being really, really generous and I say half the black people don't care about the Black Lives Matter, and it's probably even less of those people care about the stupid tone-deaf Pepsi commercial.
It was a little dumb and it didn't make any sense, and I don't know who the ad was really for.
So it doesn't. 6% of people saw that Pepsi commercial and were offended by it. And
I'm
saying
seen
half
it.
The black people, 6%, that's like 20 million people. Of those, let's say 3/4 of that 6% drink soda. A lot of people don't even drink soda. They think it's bad for them. And 2/3 of those people drink Coke because Coke is bigger than Pepsi. I mean, and by bigger, I mean, like, Coke makes like $9 billion and Pepsi only makes $6 billion. And actually, in all reality, most of the people that would be mad about that particular ad drink Sprite.
No, they don't like the caffeine?
They're Sprite drinkers. Pepsi spends $1 billion a year on advertisements. And this, they didn't even, like, put on TV. This, I think they just put up on YouTube, right?
Yeah, it was too long to be like a regular commercial.
And so, like, in doing so, they put all this energy into putting this thing on YouTube. It didn't go well, and it's taken off. It's this huge viral hit that
kind of
offended,
for the wrong reason,
like, a really small amount of people. I don't think anybody gives a shit about this, but everyone on Earth is talking about it.
Yeah, but they're not buying Pepsi because of it. They're just talking about Pepsi.
But aren't they buying Pepsi because of it? People see that Pepsi logo, and if they don't give a shit, I mean, it's not like if they're not boycotting, they're seeing the logo, and that creates brand familiarity that they didn't pay anything for. And I mean, Stephen Colbert and Saturday Night Live did a bit on it. We're talking about it. I mean, you know, the big three.
Well, I buy Pepsi because it's a dollar cheaper per 36 case than the Coke.
But, I mean, Dr. Thunder is $2 cheaper, and you don't buy that.
I do get the Bubba Cola and the Dr. Thunder. And the.
I mean, you buy a name brand soda.
Mountain Holler.
Those all sound like really deformed, like inbred versions of name brand sodas.
What I'm saying is, by the time I bog it down with all my percentages, I think like four people were offended by the Pepsi ad that are boycotting it. And still, everyone in the United States saw the ad and was influenced by the ad and saw the logo and heard all the jokes about it and are going to be more inclined to buy Pepsi just because they've seen the logo so much this week. It's in their head.
I don't think it translates to sales like you think it does. I mean, sure, maybe a tiny bit, but yeah.
Guys, Drunkard STL on the Twitters is here. Drunk, you saw the ad, right?
I did not.
You didn't see it?
I didn't see it.
Why would I think that Drunk would have seen it? It was a 3-minute ad online. Basically,
I watch plenty of TV, but I don't.
Drunk, this is the ad, okay? There's a bunch of ethnic people that are protesting.
Coloreds.
What are they protesting? Who knows? But I mean, like, it's not so much like a protest as it's like a gathering of people with signs, like marching, they don't really have like a purpose. There's dances going on. I think they exchange beads. It really looks like a good time, this protest. I mean, but they have signs. You could tell it's a protest. They're mad. They're mad. So Kendall Jenner sees what's going on, right? She sees all these protesters, and she's like, fuck, I got to get out there. So she goes out there. She grabs a Pepsi. She walks up to a riot cop and gives him the Pepsi. And the riot cop drinks the Pepsi and gives a big smile, and everybody fucking cheers, and that's the end of the commercial.
That's a stupid fucking commercial. Who the fuck okayed that?
I mean, doesn't like Apple try to do shit like that, like during the holidays too? I mean,
yeah, but they're jokes. They're not like real ads. They do stupid, dumb April Fool's.
Apple
pranks.
Did a Black Lives Matter ad.
Well, it wasn't necessarily Black Lives Matter, but you remember they had the guy with the light bulbs in his neck. It's like, oh, all people matter. Ugh.
I don't think that's a real.
I don't remember this.
Do you remember, Travis? Do you remember that Apple ad?
What was the
All Lives Matter Apple ad?
Was that the one with Frankenstein?
Yes, the tall guy from Everybody Loves Raymond. What's his name?
Yeah, and he's like a Frankenstein, right?
Brad Garrett.
Yes, Brad Garrett was in the commercial.
Brad Garrett's a Frankenstein in the middle of the town square during a holiday festivity, and then what did somebody give him a phone or some shit?
I know it was not even. He just started singing.
See, I feel like
Christmas Carol, and nobody was like
the Frankensteins in the world. Though Travis, they have a pretty good sense of humor. I don't think they'd be offended by that.
The Frankensteins, yeah, the army of Frankensteins.
All the goddamn Frankensteins out there, they're not going to be bothered by this Apple commercial. They're going to think it's fine.
Well, I mean, it's similar, but what I'm saying is. Yeah, I didn't
we'll get
see
there.
It.
Get back on track, buddy. You're almost there.
You turned the corner, buddy.
Yep.
I also saw this week that milk is racist. I didn't know that, but
because it's white.
Well, it's because it's white. I think that has a part to do with it. But apparently, like black people have different kinds of bones. no, like seriously, like they are less inclined to get osteoporosis, which is, I think, like what they talk about in the milk ads, that, like, you know, you need calcium to keep from getting osteoporosis.
Correct.
But the black people, they don't get osteoporosis as often, and so they think that encouraging people to drink milk is racist because too much milk is bad.
Doesn't it turn your poop color if you drink too much milk?
Is that real?
Yeah.
I don't know. I drink a lot of milk and my poop kind of...
But I'll tell you, Travis, after reading all these things, the blacks are running out of beverages to drink. I mean, you can't have milk, you can't have Coke or Pepsi products. What does that leave?
Kool-Aid.
Water. Everybody can drink water.
Kool-Aid.
Like nature intended.
Yes. Grape Kool-Aid. Yum.
Or Kulicles, where you take the pickle and you dump it in the Kool-Aid packet, turns the pickle red. Never seen that?
Turn it. No.
A coolicle?
No.
You take a pickle, and you dump Kool-Aid all over it, the packet, you put it back in the jar, and everything turns red, and then they're tasty like pickle cherries.
That sounds disgusting.
So you think my math was about right on that, Travis? About four people were bummed out about the Pepsi thing, right? About four people?
Well, everybody that I saw just seemed to want to weigh in just for the sake of weighing in, and I guarantee you that more people, like you said, saw that ad because of the quote-unquote outrage over the ad than would have seen it if there were no outrage. So
they see attractive people wheeling around Pepsis.
Right. Money well spent. I mean, it was everywhere. It made no sense. And like I had said when you first brought it up and said we should talk about this, and I said, nah, I'm not interested in that.
Because everybody did it, right? Everybody talked about it.
I said, 48 hours. Give it 40. And today, the Pepsi controversy has been taken over by United Airlines and their removal of a passenger on an overbooked flight.
That's now, the new one.
Everybody has an opinion on United removing this guy forcibly from a plane, and we got about 48 hours of that.
With no context, right? I mean, okay, they overbooked the flight.
Well,
they picked a guy.
Technically, they didn't overbook it. Like, everybody sat in their seats, and then United figured out, oh, we have all these employees that have to get, you know, to this other destination, and this is the last flight. So we need to figure out where to put these employees. They said, okay, well, we're kicking people off the plane to put our employees on there. And this one guy said, no, I'm a doctor. I have to be at my practice tomorrow, so pick somebody else. And they said, no, you leave, doctor. We have to get these flight attendants down to Louisville so they can serve $35 drinks, you fuck.
So do you think
it went from being the outrage against you. It was funny to watch all of these things escalate into something that they're not. Obviously, they maybe went a little bit too far with how they removed this guy, but it's changed from that. The outrage is still directed at United, but now you have an entire country, an entire world full of people on social media saying, look at all of those people who didn't help that man.
Like, are they going to do?
What were they supposed to do? Give up their seats or, like, forcibly, like, fight with the air marshals? These people have just an unending amount of time to figure out who to blame for everything from the comfort of their phones and their laptops. And it's just completely unnerving about how this is over and over and over again about anything. Anything that a couple of years ago nobody would pay any attention to whatsoever, and all of these people, these keyboard warriors, feel like they're making a difference in the world, when in reality they're just moving from one thing to another until they die a slow and miserable death.
Travis, this is just the evolution of cat pictures. You see this? You see the funny cat picture, you make your comment, you move on with your life.
The funny thing about this is, you know, the Darwinian, like, evolution of man from like, ape to upright, suit-wearing man, I feel like it's going to start going the other way again, and we're going to, it's like, we peaked, we're, like, suit-wearing, standing upright man, and I feel like we're starting to, like, become the more hunched-over phone people who are just, like, grunting at everything that they don't like,
we're gonna grunt and hit the frowny face sticker.
Emojis. We can't even use words anymore. We have to send emojis.
Frowny face.
And we had, like, internet speech in real life where people have, what does extra mean? Is that a new word? Like, people saying, oh, I want to be just like that person. I'm going to be as extra as that person. Is that a new, none of these things make any sense. And we're devolving into, like, plasma. Like, we're just gonna be blobs on the floor consuming shit and barking at stuff on the internet.
We're just gonna turn into that thing that Magneto made that senator in X-Men 1.
Just a big blob of shit.
We're just gonna beach up and just explode.
Some sort of handheld device in the middle of that blob constantly grunting and angry at shit. Ugh.
Just remember.
But Travis, they were very forceful in getting that guy off the plane, man.
He was pretty bloodied up.
They could have given a little bit more tact to that. I mean, yeah. I'm just putting in my 2 cents, Travis. It seems like they could have handled that a little bit better.
That is true.
really, I don't know.
The official stance of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks podcast is that United did not handle that situation as good
as
they could.
What else were they supposed to do?
And that makes the guy was.
I'm going to disagree here a second. What else were they supposed to do?
Find their employees drunk. A car ride back to Louisville.
Every single person should be given an order of importance they are to the world.
Uh-huh.
And they should be taken to like a priority above other people. This should go with lines at like restaurants. This should go to everything. Is there should be a class system to where the most important people, like doctors. I mean, that guy needs to get where he needs to fucking go to.
Okay.
And I mean, like, you know, me going to my pushing a cart around job is not as important as that guy. I can say that, but there's probably people that I'm more important than. I would imagine. I don't think I'm like zero last on the list.
Yeah, but they open it up to volunteers first. Nobody volunteered.
You keep offering enough money until somebody bites.
They should have just booked their employees flights on JetBlue or something to just alleviate the situation.
They offered $800. I mean, if you think about losing out on a little bit of a day's work, if you think about booking a hotel room, $800 isn't really enticing to me. You bring it up to a grand, maybe somebody bites.
800 bucks and a different flight?
Yeah, 800 yeah. bucks. 800 and bucks and a later flight, Travis. Well, you take that, right?
Well, there is. Keep in mind, there's no more flights for the day. This is the last flight of the day. You are going to that hotel. You got to stay there until your whatever flight you can get. And it's all for like 800 bucks. If they would have just kept offering money, eventually somebody would have just said, okay.
Neighbor, do you even think milk is racist? Because I don't. I mean, milk has been around forever. It comes out of cow's tits. I mean, people drink it. If, like, you know that you don't need as much calcium as other people, then just don't drink it, right?
Or, you know, get your calcium in other ways.
I mean, if there's 330 million people in the United States, Travis, I mean, I'm probably like 200 millionth important. I don't think I'm important at all, really.
I don't think anybody's more important than anybody else.
But I mean, like, as long as there's like some people that are less important than me, that like I could possibly, you know, get a priority on. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I just got back from the YMCA. I know there's at least 40 people less important than me.
How was swimming today? Was swimming good?
Swimming was good, yep, and then fed directly into taekwondo, which was also good, and then a race home to join you guys.
Anchor posted a picture in the chat room of milk cartons with swastikas on it. That doesn't make me feel good. It's kind of a bummer.
Well, the cow's not a Nazi, if that helps.
Nazi cows?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the next evolution in milk, is you have hate milk, where like the cows are taught to like hate certain ethnic groups.
No, Mike, milk can't be racist. There's chocolate milk.
You up it to $1,000, right?
And I would have said throw in an escort to my room and I'm in.
Right, right. Or like, you know, a couple of drink vouchers for your morning flight, you know, on the next one out, you know?
Just keep upping the deal. Eventually, somebody will fucking take it.
Somebody's going to fucking take it. You give them free passes to go see the next Tina Fey movie.
Doesn't matter.
Why didn't somebody on that flight help him? If I was on that flight, I would have helped him.
No, nobody would have, because there's nothing they could have done.
Everybody on the internet says they would have helped him.
They're full of shit. Nobody would have done anything.
The other big outrage that I saw, Travis, now that we're on the topic, is I saw that this is how it was worded to me, that Donald Trump signed a law that specifically made it easier for retards to get guns. Did you see that one?
I'm pretty sure he did not.
They just said this is the retards can get guns bill.
In reality, all he did was loosen restrictions on people collecting Social Security that can own a gun.
So what does it have to do with retards getting guns? See, because I'm for that. I think that as easy as we can make it for retards to get guns, I'm for that.
It's media spin saying, oh, mentally challenged people are going to be able to have guns now, and it's putting us all at risk, when in reality, he's just loosening the restrictions on Social Security recipients being able to have guns. So that means your 60-year-old grandpa can go hunting again.
So he wasn't able to before?
No, if he was, there was restrictions, certain restrictions on Social Security recipients being able to own guns.
What does Social Security have to do with retarded people? Because that's what I saw, is that they were all retarded people.
Mentally challenged people also collect Social Security, depending on the case.
So they also do?
As well as old people.
So they could potentially fall into that, maybe.
So it's spin is what it is.
It's all spin.
It's spin. I didn't think that that's what it was. I don't think that Donald Trump looked at a bill and said, "You know what? You know, we gotta put more guns in mentally handicapped people's hands.
People who have an issue adjusting to society should be armed."
Yeah, he's like, God damn it! If I don't want to live in a world where all these handicapped folks can't get their hands on some guns.
Do you want a gun?
I don't.
Oh, Napier owns enough for all of us. So.
Right. Yeah, Napier is my plan.
Sonk, you don't have any guns either?
My lady has a gun, and I'll probably be getting one shortly.
What does she have?
Drunk can get one, Travis.
The restrictions have been loosened.
Donald Trump made it okay.
Yes.
He was who he was looking for.
It's all I needed, baby. It's all I needed.
Guys, you know, I feel like the show in the last month or so, probably more than a month, has been catered too much to our male listeners. You know, we talk a lot. You know, we talk about some sports and some superhero shit and all that, and we've neglected the ladies. I feel like, don't you kind of feel like that sometimes, Napier? Like we're neglecting the ladies.
I didn't know they were here.
The ladies are here, Napier. And we haven't forgotten about you.
We didn't know you were there to begin with.
And so later on, after the break, we are going to do Napier's Sexy Storytime for the ladies.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
So did too. Oh, yeah.
That is coming up in just a minute. We're pretty excited about it. Travis is going to have to find his script.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm going to have to bust mine out on my phone, too, huh?
So, guys, let's go ahead and do our break now. I'm glad that everyone can get all the guns that they think they need. And I just wish that there wasn't so much spin. And, Travis, I know you were fired up about the outrage.
Mm-hmm.
But United, they could have handled that situation a lot better. Travis. I feel like they were a little heavy-handed in their approach. And
I'm glad that we are all able to have an opinion. God bless America.
But thankfully, Mike, when all was said and done, they brought the man back to his chair on the airplane, and they still took him back to wherever he was supposed to go. They kicked him off for a brief moment so the cops could beat the shit out of him, and they put him right back in that same fucking seat and strapped his bloody ass into it.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Team WFOD has 171 points going into this big weekend with the Fate of the Furious dropping. To catch the Lotus cast, who still has the Lost City of Z to contend with, we will need a strong showing. With Ghost in the Shell pretty much tanking with a mere 17 points, looks like it's going to be one and done for the Rocktown podcast. Their four movies combined didn't score as much as Logan, which in tandem with the surprising not shitty box office of The Boss Baby will put Passersby Podcast soundly in third place. So I guess we wait. This is closer than I thought it would be. Luckily for us, Lost City of Z looks pretty terrible. First weekend results for Fast 8 next week.
Say, little missy, you want an autograph?
Not necessarily.
What's your name, girl?
Allie. But really, it's okay.
That's a nice name. There you go, Allie.
Thanks, Virgin.
Virgil.
Listen, old sport, I gotta go now. My stomach kinda hurts, so...
Wait, what about my 20 bucks?
What?
For the autograph?
I didn't even want this. I don't even know you.
But I already signed it and everything.
You didn't even spell my f***ing name right.
Tell you what, I'll make it 10 bucks. Oh, my Virgils!
Steve was a ladies' man who loved them and left them. A regular cocksmith. Until one day, he crossed the wrong woman. He used her witchcraft to curse him. If Steve was going to think with his dick, he'd have to talk to it too. The Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks proudly presents Me and My Talking Dick, taped in front of a live studio audience.
Is this even something you enjoy, or are you just kind of indifferent to it?
I think it's a pleasant experience for the most part. It lowers my temperature a bit, makes me less bitchy.
I think it's a good look for you. It makes you look more presentable.
Maybe to some, but I bet there's a higher percentage than you think of gals that want you to be covered in hair like a fucking grizzly bear. They want their men to be men.
So should I stop doing this? Go all natural?
Nah, man. I don't think you're about that grizzly life. It's a commitment. You know the lyrics to too many Alanis Morissette songs.
Just the ones on Jagged Little Pill. 33 million people bought that album, and I'm sure some of them kept their pubes.
It's not just the physical pubes, is what I'm saying. It's the mental pubes. You're soft, man. You're a gentle spirit. Your Alanis song wouldn't even be on that album. It'd be on the next one. When she sang about how Ryan Reynolds loves her for her, and that he's gonna stay with her because he understands and shit. Well, how'd that work out for you, baby girl?
You said this made you less bitchy.
I'm complex, man.
I don't know. I think I like you trimmed down a bit. This makes me feel better.
I can be an asshole of the grandest kind. I can withhold like it's going out of style. I can be the moodiest baby, and you've never met anyone who's as negative as I am sometimes. You see everything, you see every part, you see all my light, and you love my dark. You dig everything of which I.
Once again, WFOD, Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
Target on my back, lone survivor last. They got me in the sights. No surrender, no trigger, fingers go. Living the dangerous life. Hey, 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 every day when I wake, I'm trying to get up, they're knocking me down.
Chewing me up, spitting me out.
Hey, 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 when I need to be saved, you're making me strong, you're making me stand.
Never will fall, never will end.
Shot like a rocket up into the sky, nothing can stop me tonight. You make me feel invincible.
be like a Christian rock band. Really?
That's why I'm playing it. I started with Seven Dust and I went to Skillet because you talked shit about them.
It's because they're not very good.
Guys, we're back. Phone number to contact show 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Don't call us right now, though, because we're busy.
Also, the only band I hate more than Skillet, fucking Shinedown.
That's who we're starting with next week, then.
Well, fuck you.
You just keep it going, Napes. You just keep it going.
I've seen Shinedown 4 times. Also like Shinedown very much.
you saw Shinedown all the times you saw Shinedown on accident, though. Like they were there to see with someone you like better.
2 times I purposely saw Shinedown by themselves, and the other 2 times was at a rock and roll festival.
I've seen Papa Roach like 8 times, but I never went to see Papa Roach. Like Papa Roach.
I've seen Papa Roach twice. I've never went to see Papa Roach.
Right. Papa Roach just always kind of worms their way in on shit I want to see. And you know what? They're good. They are very good live. Yeah, they're absolutely fun. There's enough of their songs that you've heard on the radio to where you can be like, oh, yeah.
I feel like that's 311 is that version of my band.
You've seen 311 a lot of times when you didn't really want to?
Yeah, I mean, they were just there.
I saw Limp Bizkit like twice in the span of like a year, once on accident and once on purpose after I saw them on accident. A lot can be said for the energy in a show to make you want to see that band again. Like, I don't particularly enjoy Limp Bizkit anymore, but the show they put on is very energetic and is worth it just for the energy.
You know, I went and saw Limp Bizkit 1 time on purpose. Great show.
Mm-hmm.
Great show. And that was when I liked Limp Bizkit, and that was when everybody liked Limp Bizkit.
Oh, Chocolate
and now
Starfish.
Everybody says, oh, I don't like Limp Bizkit. I never liked Limp Bizkit. You're fucking lying.
Goddamn liars. Everybody liked Limp Bizkit. No, there wasn't anybody at what, the late 90s, early 2000s, that was like, oh, this Limp Bizkit's bullshit. No, everybody liked Limp Bizkit.
It was Limp Bizkit and Eminem and Exhibit.
Oh, God, that must have been great.
And I ate the whole fucking thing up. I love the whole fucking show, Travis.
Was that on the Family Values tour?
I believe so. I believe it
was. I recall that tour.
Oh, wasn't like Korn and other crazy bands on that?
Korn, and then there was a handful of other ones. A couple didn't fit, but yeah, there was, quite. I think I still have the very first Family Values tour CD.
Incubus, I believe.
Guys, what we're doing right now is not
wasting time, baby.
Not particularly feminine, and that's what we're here for tonight.
Saying the ladies don't like Limp Bizkit?
We're here for the fucking ladies, Travis.
Ladies like Fred Durst in his white shirt and red hat.
Tonight, we will be performing Beauty and the Beast erotic fan fiction.
Really think about it. Fred Durst is like a penis with a white shaft and the red tip.
Travis will play the part of Beauty. And of course,
a.k.a. Bell,
drunk will be the Beast.
A.k.a. the Beast.
And Napier will be the narrator.
Excellent.
And I think at some point, I'm the candle.
You got very few lines way at the end.
I'm the candle guy. Hey, spoiler alert, drunk.
scrap the whole project.
Pretty excited about the whole goddamn thing, though. I'm not going to lie. It's been a while since we did this. So let's get right into it. Napier, what do you think?
Let's do this.
Is there ever theme music for this this segment of the show?
Theme music? I have the music for Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, perfect. All right. Sorry to spoil that.
You kind of fucking ruined that, didn't you? Guy.
Well, you shouldn't have said no. There was never a theme song, and then busted out the Beauty and the Beast song.
All right, Napier.
Okay.
Now you have to do this really sexy.
Gotcha. Sexy.
You're practicing your audio.
Does Napier know anything else?
From what's her name? What was her name?
I don't remember.
That one girl. Practicing for her audio.
Excellent.
Go for it, buddy.
Beast waited at the bottom of the stairs for Bell before supper. Bell paused at the top of the stairs so Beast could take her in. She heard a deep, guttural growl when he looked up at her and drank in her form. She wore a yellow silk dress. The material clung to her hips, waist, and breastises, creating an hourglass silhouette. The back of the dress was open all the way at the top of her ass crack, framing her heart-shaped butt. The top of the dress hung low on her double D breastises, barely covering her areolas. The material was thin, and her nipples poked out, standing at attention as if saluting Beast.
Pause. If you continue to go this slow,
yeah,
this episode is going to be 4.5 hours long.
you said sexy.
He's establishing a
tone.
But Travis, is he going to speed it up? I'm going to fall asleep over here.
You're supposed to be...
It's going to get real sexy real quick, say, Travis. God, give it a chance.
He had me all David Attenborough'd, like, in me. I was feeling it. We were good.
Travis fucked it up this time.
Man.
Dude, you got to right. get... This is for stroking. You got to get your troth stirred.
Yeah,
on.
Like... Travis, you're used to just like fast forwarding in the YouPorn video to the good part. Like, you got to romance ladies. You got to.
Oh, man, it starts at the good part. All right. Sorry. I apologize. This is my bad, guys.
She swung her hips as she stepped down each stair and smiled innocently at Beast.
Hi.
She purred.
How are you tonight, Beast?
She glanced down at his tented trousers and giggled.
Feeling up for dinner tonight, Beast?
He just... and offered her his arm, looking at the ceiling. He wanted to be a gentleman to Belle and to prove he wasn't a true beast, but his body was finding it quite hard. Belle was so sweet. She couldn't have realized the effects that sexy dress would have on him. Did she even realize it was almost see-through?
Yes, Belle. It will be lovely. And you know, Belle, about your dress.
Yes?
She blinked up at him. He glanced over at her nipples, poking through her thin fabric, and how... her arched back pressed her ample chest towards him.
Well, I just think the best dress in the wardrobe has picked out for you.
She smiled widely at him.
Actually, I picked out this dress tonight, Beast. I wanted to look special for you.
Then she winked at him.
Did she just wink at me?
Beast thought...
Is she trying to give me the biggest hard-on I've ever had? Because it's working.
Belle placed her hand on his arm and smiled up at him. He led her over to the beautifully decorated long table and placed her chair out at the far end and stood behind it.
Thank you. You are such a gentleman.
Instead of sitting directly on the open chair, she slid down in between the chair and Beast, slid her ass firmly against his extremely hard cock, and sat down on the other side. She could hear his deep growl behind her.
You're welcome.
Beast growled.
That was an accident, right?
He thought...
She's making me want her on the table right now.
Oh, Beast.
Belle exclaimed. She spun around and bounced her enormous breastises across the top of the chair, perching them there so Beast could see directly down her dress and see her boobs in all their glory. The areolas peeked out above the dress.
I don't think I want to sit all the way down here if you're sitting all the way at the other end of the table. I want to sit right beside you.
I agree, Belle. That way I can look at your beauty closer and your boobs much closer.
He thought.
Stupid Adam, what are you thinking? You're a gentleman, remember?
In the chat, Michelle says, this Belle is a fucking cock tease. Is Travis doing a good thing? You know, Beauty and the Beast is so hot right now, Napier.
I know. Makes me want to dress up like the Kansas City Jaybird and fuck broads.
I think you went a little too fast, everybody.
And she could feel it. It felt like there was a pillar beneath her. A hard, long, wide pillar. She wiggled around a little, massaging his cock with each move. Just before he thought he may come, she stopped.
How did she know he was...
He groaned.
Did you just skip like six paragraphs?
Mike does this all the time without telling you, by the way.
That's not helpful for me.
I was thinking, I was like, how the hell is he going to know?
Yeah, you guys might know what you're doing, but I'm over here. I have no idea.
You're at...
Try that again.
He groaned.
What?
She asked innocently.
Nothing. You're fine. I'm just a bit unsatisfied. I need something to satisfy my hunger.
I can surely help with that.
And with that, Belle pulled out a Snickers, because the beast isn't himself when he's up.
What's this?
And Napier, that right there is why you can't do the show from fucking Skype. Because Napier would have never had that line on fucking Skype.
Nope.
He would have been fucking going to getting pizza rolls out of the oven. He would have missed the whole goddamn thing, drunk.
That was awesome.
I'm sorry. Where were we?
Here. I need something to satisfy my hunger.
I can surely help with that.
Belle's eyes sparkled mischievously. She dipped the spoon into his soup and brought it towards his lips. He licked it up with his enormous tongue.
Oh, what a long tongue you have.
She commented. Each time she bent to dip the spoon in the bowl, her chest became more and more exposed as the dress slid down. She spooned the soup into his mouth. She leaned her head inches from his mouth. She could feel his hot breath as he stared down at her. He had given up pretending not to gaze at her sexy form. He now stared at her boobs openly.
Boobs!
When a bit of soup landed on his lip, Belle glided her finger around it and licked the soup off her finger. Her finger pulled out of her mouth with a pop. I have to give it to this creature, he thought. When the soup was finished, Belle clenched her ear and looked alarmed.
Oh no! I think I've lost my earring,
Belle exclaimed.
Let me look for it. You stay seated.
She leaned in towards him and kissed him on the cheek.
You really are a sweetheart.
And then she turned around, bent down to the ground, with her ass proudly by Beast face.
It must be down here somewhere.
Her hands searched the ground while her butt wiggled inches from Beast face.
Wiggle, wiggle.
Oh, what are you doing?
I'm trying to find where we should skip to. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Where were we?
Good question.
Oh, yeah, I lost it.
Down.
And we shouldn't all have the same one.
No.
She could hear his breathing quicken.
Yeah, he's still going to go up, homie.
Yeah, you're on screw this.
Beast stared at her beautiful watermelon-sized ass and whispered,
oh, God.
I think I know where it may be.
He reached his huge palms out and grasped each of her ass cheeks. They fit perfectly in his palms. Belle gasped.
Oh, well, search everywhere, Beast. The earring could be anywhere.
Oh, fuck, he thought. She wants the D! She wants this as badly as I do. He pulled up her dress so it pulled above her ass and was surprised to find she was wearing nothing underneath.
Oh, sorry, I'm not paying attention. Oh, Belle, you're a naughty girl. Did you forget to put on your underwear?
Oh, no. Are you going to spank me?
I'm going to do more than that.
And with that, he was three knuckles deep into her anal cavity, searching for her beloved pink starfish. She suddenly felt hot breath beside her ear. A wet tongue entered it, and she could feel a mouth suck into her ear. Meanwhile, a large paw skimmed her stomach and rubbed all over. It traveled up onto her breastises and squeezed, and then it moved to the next and kneaded it. The tongue slid down the side of her face and entered her mouth. It licked her lips and played with her tongue urgently. She responded by kissing his lips and biting them. Each time she bit down, he would growl with desire. The experience, not seeing what would happen next and not being able to move, was so stimulating. Her body quivered at each touch.
You're extremely distracting. You know that, dude?
She heard a cough and a voice said,
Hello, Mademoiselle Belle. It is me, Lumiere. We were told to come in here. That is myself and all of the other servants. I do apologize. We did not realize you would be so exposed. However, the master is a very great master, and he knows that with our condition of being, well, inanimate objects, we haven't got to see or experience beautiful lovemaking in a very long time. He thought we might like to watch.
You are everywhere.
I know,
just, like,
right?
Skipped down like three paragraphs and then backed up two paragraphs. I have no idea where you are. Oh, now I do. This, okay. He did he? Well, lucky for him, I've got a thing for exhibitionism, and I know that Beast and I are going to create quite a show. My cunt is dripping, and my breasts are dying to be sucked like a cow's udders.
Suddenly, she felt hot breath beside her.
No, you already did that. You already did that. Skip down. Mike's moving again.
Their tongues continue to wrestle while he glid his hands down her body from her neck to her waist. He flicked her nipples as he passed.
Beast!
She panted.
My poor nipples are dying to be sucked. Would you deny them?
He put her tits in his mouth and chewed them like bubblegum. The pink areolas soon became kneaded with teeth marks.
Beast, stop, or I'm going to come, and I want to wait until the main attraction.
You got it.
He snarled. Then he pulled her hips towards him and positioned his huge demon cock towards her tiny wet cunt. and shoved it in.
Are you okay, Bill? It's not that sloppy. Are you okay, Bill?
He couldn't bear to actually hurt this beautiful creature before him unless it was during sex.
If I wasn't tied up right now, I would slap you for apologizing. Don't turn into a dog now, beast. I want you.
He grinned and pumped in and out of her, blood squirting everywhere.
You,
don't stop!
You, my dear, are beautiful.
Oh, Adam.
He pulled his dick out of her like it was a crime scene knife. She had completely forgotten that this whole sexual encounter had been watched by the servants. The poor little teacup kept shaking and crying. When she looked up, she saw all the servants as humans humping each other. The maid bouncing up and down on Lumiere's cock. And Cogsworth was lying between Mrs. Potts and a busty woman who used to be the wardrobe. Miss Potts was sitting on his face while he licked her cunt and the wardrobe sucked his cock.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Lumiere panted as his hips bucked against the maid's cunt.
Travis is making sense. You and Beast's lovemaking has made us human again. And what sexy lovemaking it was. You have a gift, my sweet. If Beast will allow it, I'd love to taste you later as well.
You... you seem to be enjoying yourself already, you sexy man. Thank you, Lumiere. But after experiencing Beast, I don't think I could ever experience another man.
It was at that time Bell learned that Beast cocked had jagged bars on it like a cat's.
Thank you, my sweet. You are beautiful. Thank you for making me human again. And thankfully, one part of me didn't transform.
Bell felt heat.
He's still got a Beast wiener.
Yeah, he's still got that cat barbed tooth.
So he's like he's a fella, but with a Beast wiener.
It's so hairy.
Bell felt heat by her leg and looked down to find Adam's cock was hard.
And the chat anchor says, Mike is right. I don't appreciate them. You know, fun little tidbit. And this has nothing to do with anything because we're still doing our Beauty and the Beast thing.
Beauty and the Beast is so hot right now.
When Beauty and the Beast is so hot right now. But when Napier was recording his part for that Me and My Talking Dick, Travis.
Yes, sir.
He had a really hard time saying your Alanis song. And he kept saying your Atlantis song. I swear he did it 10 times and he kept saying Atlantis. Atlantis.
That's because of the voice I make. It, you know, contracts my vocal cords.
You were saying Atlantis.
It's hard to pronounce shit when you're making a stupid, goofy, fucking voice.
Funny.
So you're saying your throat did something so your teeth, like, grind against your tongue to make a T sound?
Your Atlantis song.
It sounded more like Atlantis, but not that.
It was just a funny tidbit. Just a funny tidbit.
Mmm, Bell purred. We'll have to try it out to see if it works just as well, don't you think?
His Beast wiener. See, because he's a guy, but he's got a Beast wiener.
Red Rocket.
Oh, I have all the confidence it will, my Bell.
Tale as old as time, Beauty and the Beast. Ha-cha-cha. That was terrible.
You know, it's one of those things, Travis.
It would have been fine if Mike didn't start getting the old skip around happy.
The old skipperoo?
Well, and the first time we kind of collected ourselves, but then the second time he skipped down and then skipped back up.
Right.
Because he missed his line.
Yeah, that's why, Travis, because I saw that I had missed my big line.
I only have two lines, Travis. I'm not going to skip my lines.
And you could have way freshed it up way better than that. I know you could have.
Play with me, oh, de bear.
Wee wee. De bear. I'm a candelabra.
Dun, dun.
Ho, ho. Do you want some freedom fries?
Smoke cigarettes.
Some poutine.
It looks like I have four cocks.
Ho ho, I am so hot for you.
That sounded a little more like Borat.
My wife. Do you want me to you want to go back, guys?
And, no.
Oh yeah, let's
you want to start right over again so I can do my French accent?
Right from the beginning.
Ho ho, you guys. Napier, do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with the people?
We should have done better this Hollywood Fantasy League. It makes me sad that we didn't.
We didn't lose, though, did we?
No, we're going to win. We're just not going to win by as much as we thought we were going to.
Oh.
Oh, cool.
Beauty and the Beast made a shitload of money, Travis. It's so hot right now, that Beauty and the
Beast. It's still, like, 3 weeks after the movie came out. My wife and daughter went to see it, and it was like a early matinee, and said it was still packed on like a Sunday at like noon.
Yeah, they said it's like over $1 billion. It's made a lot of money.
Is there any doubt, though? I mean, as soon as that first trailer hit, I heard like the collective 30-some-year-old women and all of their daughters gasp.
I'll tell you what, you know, like people our age, Travis, it's people our age taking their kids, right?
Exactly what it is.
They gotta be like casting Little Mermaid and Aladdin and just like jacking their dicks off like crazy as they're doing it, right?
Oh yeah,
because like, my god, money's gonna be so fucking good for these. Oh my god.
Yeah, they got the right Marvel franchise.
Right now it is Lion King is next, then Pocahontas, then Aladdin. Those are the next three cartoon to live action.
Are they saving Little Mermaid for last?
Probably hard to do with the water. Water special effects is really expensive.
Oh, bullshit.
It is. Look it up.
No.
No. I'm not going to look it up.
Just look it up then. I don't give a shit what you look up. It is.
What do I Google, Travis? How much do water special effects cost?
Exactly. I don't care. After the Jungle Book, I'm super excited for the live action Lion King. I think that's going to be great.
Did anybody actually go see Ghost in the Shell?
No. Jesse went and saw it, and he said it was fine.
I hear that everybody who saw it said, yeah, it was good.
No, I mean, it's not, like, good, but it's not, like, bad. It's fine.
Ghost in the Shell's not a big thing here. I don't know
why. Didn't make shit for money. It didn't do anything.
Well, they didn't make it necessarily for here. That shit's going to make money in Asia.
That's what they do now. Mm-hmm. I heard that XXX3... They got, like, the biggest star from, like, every country to be in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie made, like, a fuckload of money overseas. Like, because it had, like, you know, the biggest guy in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So all the fucking Asians went and saw it.
Hey, money's
like, fuck
money.
Yeah, it's got the Asian guy in it that we like.
Well, it's the same reason we put The Rock in everything.
Because The Rock makes bank?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's always, he never disappoints me.
He disappointed me with that HBO show. That show stinks.
I love Ballers.
You don't watch Ballers.
Yes,
Travis.
I do. I'm eagerly anticipating season 3. I love Ballers.
Are you shitting me?
You know what?
You're the guy that watches Ballers, Travis.
You got professional football, and you got Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Travis, what is Ballers about? You tell me what that show is about, other than just watching The Rock walk around in fantasy
suits. Ballers is about Dwayne Johnson, who is an ex-football player who has become...
What's his character's name, Travis?
I don't know characters' names in anything. You could ask me anything I care about, and I couldn't tell you what the characters' names are. I never pay attention.
What's Storm's real name?
Aurora.
The loot, the warrant. Drunk, do you have anything you want the people to know about?
Drunk's pick of the week is NHL playoffs starts this week. Tune on in to NBC Sports Network, USA, and the National Network.
I'm going to be so happy if the fucking Capitals get knocked out by Toronto.
Scrams from the Red Show invited me to be part of his bracket challenge, but the NHL website is having a hard time with these brackets.
Yeah.
It wouldn't let me log in at first, and then it wouldn't let me save my bracket. And so I think I just might not make a bracket because it's too goddamn complicated. I can't be bothered with all these things, you know? I try a couple times. I can't get in. I'm done. Napier, pick of the week.
My pick of the week is Young Justice on Netflix. It's kind of fun. I never watched it.
Young Justice?
Yeah, it's about DC sidekicks.
How they Miss Martian.
Like Robin?
Yeah, fun fact, Miss Martian is voiced by Danica McKellar, also known as TV's Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years.
Neat.
Nice.
Oh, it's a cartoon?
Yeah, it's a cartoon. It's about the DC like sidekicks. And
I thought that was the Teen Titans.
No, that's a different one.
Aren't they the same guys, though?
Kind of like half
at
of
one
them.
At one point, the people in Young Justice were all in the Teen Titans, but it's just like the Justice League. It's an ever-rotating cast of characters.
Yeah, you start at the minor leagues, which is the sidekicks. Then you graduate to the Justice League, and you get to be a real superhero.
Then who are the Teen Titans?
It's a separate thing.
In the Young Justice universe, nobody is Teen Titans.
Yeah, the Teen Titans don't exist in that one. They're just Young Justice.
But there's a Flash TV show, but then there's also going to be a Flash in the movies that's a different Flash.
Yeah, it's a different universe. They don't overlap.
Just consider it part of the multiverse.
Yeah, it's part of the multiverse.
You know, I'm done with just one universe, guys. We're in the universe. This is our goddamn universe. Everything takes part in this universe.
Mike,
if it doesn't, I'm not into it.
Shoehorned in, because when Robert Downey Jr. says, "You're not paying me enough money to be Iron Man now that I'm 75 years old, I'm out," you can't have Tony Stark Iron Man anymore.
That's fine. Yeah, no, but I mean, they're not going to make a different universe.
They might, yeah.
They're not just going to be like, okay, guys, this is a different universe than that other Iron Man.
I'll tell you, as soon as all of those main characters either age out or demand too much money, Marvel will reboot everything.
Right, but then there will be one universe.
No. There's never going to be one. You don't make money with one universe. You got to have alternate universes and what-if stories.
They're just going to reboot the one universe.
No, they make side universes where you
all you gotta do is Secret Wars it up, and then time splinters and reformulates itself, and now
Miles Morales is part of the Marvel universe. I reject that.
You don't like Black Spider-Man?
Like, there's one Spider-Man. Like, there's been three Spider-Mans, but there's only one Spider-Man at a time, is what I'm saying. And they all take place, like, in the universe.
There's Spider-Man cartoons on.
I mean, like, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man isn't running around the same time as other Spider-Mans.
He was?
Yeah.
There was at least one cartoon on at the time.
There's been several after,
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to, like...
a hard stance on this?
Yeah, I'm taking a hard stance. I'm declaring... Mike Rule on this one universe.
Sure, Warner Brothers will definitely bow to that demand.
There's not one universe in Star Trek, damn it. That's my mama.
Hey, you didn't ask me what I like this week.
Oh, wait, Travis, what do you like?
That's my mom, I'm out.
Travis, what's your pick of the week, buddy?
Oh, I don't have a pick of the week this week.
Why?
Because I'm too excited about getting my tickets for Flashback Weekend in August in Chicago.
What's that?
Flashback Weekend is, if you remember everybody making fun of me the last time I went
to this thing.
It's
his Freddy Krueger thing.
It's my Freddy Krueger thing. It is a horror convention in August, and so many people from the Nightmare on Elm Street series are going to be there. And not only that... with my ticket, I get to watch an outdoor screening of my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, where it will be introduced by not only Robert Englund, but many of the cast members from the movie.
Travis, so wasn't your thing last year about how, oh my God, this isn't going to be my last chance to see Robert Englund?
Well, no, that was it was like 3 years ago already. Can you believe it or not?
Was it that long ago?
Two for sure. I think it was three.
Wow.
But yeah, that was the only time he's ever been in Freddy makeup at a convention, and the only time he ever will. This time it's just Robert Englund, no Freddy makeup, and then a bunch of actors from Nightmare on Elm Street. So.
In the chat, Anchor says, how can Mike host a podcast and know nothing about comic book characters? I know lots of stuff about comic book characters, guys. I just don't get into all this other universe shit. There's only one universe.
You know what my favorite universe was?
I like it grounded in reality is what I like.
My favorite universe that ever existed
is this one, because it's the only one.
Is when Marvel and DC, they paired up for like three episodes.
Oh, that was awesome.
Oh, it was fucking great. You had Marvel Batman mixed with Wolverine.
Yeah, Marvel versus DC, and then it splintered off into the Amalgam Universe, and Batman and Wolverine was called Dark Claw.
That was so fucking fun.
Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was awesome.
Bruce Wayne was in S.H.I.E.L.D. Mike, it was fucking awesome. You don't remember none of this.
So he's gonna go and he's gonna in the chat. Anchor says Travis is going to pay $750 to get the autograph of the sixth person killed in Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
I don't think there was six people killed in Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Oh, is that a light one?
Thank you very much.
There's light on the kill.
Elm Street movies don't kill a lot of people because when they kill people, it's a very grand thing. I think in 5 they only killed like 3 people. 4. Well, 4 was the three characters from that carried over from part 3, and then 1, 2, 3. Oh no, he's right. There was 6.
Damn. One day you hear the next you're
gone. The first one in Nightmare on Elm Street 4 that was killed was, was it Kincaid in the junkyard? That's when Freddy came, because the dog pissed on the ground, pissed the fire, the ground split up. The third one killed him in Elm Street 4 was Kristen, the hero of part 3. She burnt up. And it seemed like she just burnt in her room because she smoked a cigarette and her room just blazed. After that, it could have been one of two. It was either Alice's brother that died. I think it was Alice's brother. And then it was the black gal died when Freddy sucked her face. And then next, when Alice were trying to figure out what was going on, but it was the Roach Motel gal. She was working out, and then he said, you can get check in, but you can't check out, and she turned into a bug, and then he squashed her. I believe that was number 6, and she will be at Flashback Weekend, and I will pay for her.
Guys, it's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Call in, leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at wfodshow or facebook.com/wfodix. Email your comments to wfodshow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balzonia, and Jody B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, Mike here. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, it'd be really great if I could give money to the people who do that thing I like? Well, we made that possible. Go to wfodix.com and find it under the Extras tab. in turn, we'll say thank you at the end part of the show that everyone skips past. But you won't, because you're one of the good ones. You stay till the end. You'll never leave us, right?